Very warm welcome to everyone who's here tonight to hear the gospel preached. What wonderful words to be able to sing. It's not really anything directly connected with my message as far as the way the words are put, but they are nailed to the cross. They are nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss Jesus went to the cross, and he carried my sins with him there. If you're thinking, if it's not related to my message, I'm not preaching the gospel. I just mean in the form of the words, sometimes you get a hymn and it's just exactly what you're preaching. We'll end up at the cross tonight with the Lord Jesus, and we'll see what the Lord has done for us here. But to be able to know that, that my sins are nailed to the cross, that it's nothing like it. And this is the message of the gospel. So you're looking at that tonight. I want to turn in our Bibles to, if you will, over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Timothy 1, 15. And Apostle Paul is the writer. He's writing to a young preacher of the gospel, a young minister of God's word, servant of God's people. And Paul's writing advice to him about how to look after the churches, but he starts off his epistle with a proclamation of the gospel. Even to a saint, he knew the gospel. We need to hear it over and over and over again. Paul's words there to Timothy and to all men, and 1 Timothy 1:15, he says this: "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." I'll read that again. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And that's our text for tonight. We'll look at a couple of other places if the Lord leads that way. This is a faithful saying. Paul brings before Timothy the gospel message, and everything that he would say to Timothy, which we're not going into tonight, is based on the gospel. And he introduces the letter, of course, and tells Timothy his purpose, but he gets to this, which is the heart of it and the basis of everything. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation," the acceptance of all, "that Christ Jesus came into the world for this purpose, to save sinners." And Paul declares, "of whom I am chief." The foundation of everything God has to say, but since man has sinned, God would be pointless to say anything to us if he doesn't lay the foundation first. If I speak to a foreign man who's looking for direction, because he can't understand my language, he's a stranger, a foreigner. If I can't get him to understand at the bottom of the road, turn right, that's pointless. It's pointless in me giving him any other instructions, any other direction, because he's not got the first thing. And God's first thing to sinful man is that we need to be saved. God's first thing that he says to sinful man, as he brings before us our need, and he brings before us his son. And I want to look at it in this order tonight. We'll bring out a couple of points. Firstly, the one who was sent, the world he came to, and why he came, God's purpose for his coming. The one who was sent, the world he came to, and why he came. And Paul says there, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world." The one who was sent. Now everyone of us are all related here in that we're human beings, we're all men, but we have this one great thing in common. We are sinners. No matter how good we look, or how bad we look, depends on what your opinion is, no matter how prim and proper we act, no matter how much etiquette or how much good manners we've got, no matter how we are able to present ourselves so that we please most of the people, maybe most of the time, or our inability to do that, and all our efforts, one thing remains in common with us all: we are sinners. We have broken God's word. And God, for sinners, has done this. The one who was sent, Christ Jesus, came into the world. Who is this one, Christ Jesus? Well, the name Christ means God's anointed. Now, when you read through the Bible, through the Old Testament, when you would hear of a man anointed, a king, a prophet, a priest, somebody for a specific purpose by God, that word there, to be anointed, was to be made a Christ, an anointed one, one set aside by God, and marked out by God, for the purpose God had him, for the purpose that God had for his life. Whether it was a prophet, he was anointed to be a prophet, to proclaim God's word. Whether it was a king, he was anointed to rule God's people. Whether it was a priest, he was anointed to stand between God and God's people. And for the Old Testament priests were just pictures of Christ. They were to show the holiness that God demanded. And they were on the behalf of sinful man, being sinners themselves, to identify with man, to recognize man's weakness, to have compassion on sinful man, according to the ordinances of God, and were to bring an offering and a sacrifice for sinners. And those old offerings and those old sacrifices were only pictures, they were types of the one who would come. And this is who we're speaking of here. Christ Jesus came into the world. God's anointed, Christ. God's Christ. The one who was anointed, no with oil, but with the Spirit of God. God the Son sent, he came into the world. He came, he was sent from heaven. He came into the world. The one who is divine, the one who is the second person of the Godhead. He was sent by the Father. He was sent full of the fullness of the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit having perfect fellowship in that man, Christ Jesus. His fellowship never changed with the Father and with the Spirit. And on this earth he walked as a man, as that one who is God and man. And the Holy Spirit came upon him and anointed him for the work which God sent him to do. God's Christ. In that sense, he was God's eternally anointed. He was God's eternally marked out one. Yet it was demonstrated on the earth, and John the Baptist could see and declare that he saw the Spirit descending in a bodily form like a dove, and it rested on him, it remained upon him. The Holy Spirit. God's anointed, Christ. This is the one who was sent. The one that we're reading about in our verse, who came into the world to save sinners. Christ. Jesus came into the world. Jesus. That word is a great word, a great name. Jesus. There's an Old Testament, the Hebrew equivalent was in the Old Testament, the Bible, when you read Joshua, it's that same name. And it has this meaning. Jehovah saves. Or, Jehovah, I maybe put it this way, and you see it in the Lord Jesus' life, Jehovah's salvation. When Simeon saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he was ready to die and go home to be with the Lord then. Why? For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before all men. Jesus, Jehovah saves. God's salvation, Jehovah's salvation. Jehovah the Saviour. This is why he came into the world, to save sinners. Christ, God's anointed. Jehovah, God's salvation. He is the co-creator. Who is this person? Christ Jesus. He came from heaven. He came into the world. He is the co-creator. You know, we read in our Bibles that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You come to the beginning, and to the New Testament, the beginning of John's epistle, we read about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is called the Word. And it tells us that the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It tells us, goes on to tell us about this one who is called the Word. All things were created by him. And then later on down that same chapter, we learn that that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who is the God's anointed from heaven, God's Saviour, God's salvation, the Saviour provided by God for mankind, and he's the co-creator. They're thinking about the one who came. That's his person. Christ Jesus has authority. That speaks for itself. It just comes out of that. If you recognize who he is, God's anointed, the one who came from heaven, the one who came anointed by God upon the earth, full of the fullness of the Godhead, the one who was worthy to bear that name, Jesus, Jehovah the Savior. What authority he has. Let me read that verse again where we're thinking about his authority. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. All acceptation. Well, men are considering and thinking what to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. His authority speaks to us what we ought to do. And it's in our verse, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus, this one who had this inherent authority, came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Let's look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 22. And I'm just going to read a portion here. This is the authority of the Saviour. John chapter 5 and verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Purpose that all men should honour the Son. That is worship. Even as they honour or worship the Father. He that honoureth not the Son, honoureth not the Father which hath sent him. Down in verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. This one that's the Son of God is the Son of Man, and the Father has given all authority unto him. Look what our verse says concerning this faithful saying of our Lord Jesus Christ, worthy of all acceptation. His person, his authority, what he has done as the co-creator, the one through whom all things were created. Have you ever accepted God's message concerning his Son? Here tonight, perhaps listening over the internet, maybe you've heard the gospel over and over and over again. No doubt you have been sitting in here. But have you ever considered that this message is worthy? The person, Christ Jesus, sent from heaven, a man upon the earth, God incarnate, announced from heaven, thou art my beloved Son, and ye I am well pleased. Have you ever considered how worthy this message is? You hear it, you know it, you should repeat it. Do you know its worth? Do you know the one whom it speaks about? Christ Jesus, sent into the world to save sinners, worthy of all acceptation. Have you accepted what God has said concerning his Son? Have you received him for yourself? This is Paul's message here. This is the exhortation of God's word. This is the command of God, that all men should repent and believe on the Son. If you've never honoured the Son and accepting what God has said concerning him, you've never honoured the Father. If you've never surrendered your heart to Christ and knowledge, complete knowledge, that this one is worthy to be received of me, his creature, me who have sinned against him, broken his law, been under his wrath, what is he going to do with me? What has he done for me? He's come into the world. He's walked upon the earth as a man. Christ, God's anointed, Jesus, the Saviour provided by God for sinners. Have you never accepted that message, never acknowledged its worth, never been persuaded of its worth and trusted in the Saviour, you have never honoured God. You have never honoured Him. The exhortation of the Scripture is, accept the Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy of all acceptation. Worthy of the acceptation of all. No, there's nobody here tonight. There's nobody in this world tonight who has any right to refuse God's salvation. To make a judgment of it and say, not for me. Each one of us are created by God. Each one of us are upheld by God. We have one humanity, common with all other men. And Christ took upon Him that humanity. It's a real man, Christ Jesus. When He became a man, He didn't become a different man. It was the same humanity He took on. But that man, Christ Jesus, had no sin. That man, Christ Jesus, was God incarnate. He was conceived not of Adam's seed. He came through the Davidic line, but sin apart. He is worthy to be received. Receive Him. Secondly, the world He came into. Sin and its opposition. You know, the Scripture says that the whole world, we're thinking of people here, the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world. That's Jews and Gentiles alike. Paul wrote extensively about that in his epistle to the Romans. The Bible teaches us that there is none righteous, no, not one. And everyone in here tonight are sinners. They have sin. And everyone in this world tonight has sin. No matter what your background, no matter who you are, no matter how you feel in comparison to the person beside you, the person in front of you, the person down the street. See our feelings, we've got wrong judgments in our mind, wrong judgments in our heart. God looks down at the mass of humanity and He sees sinners. And He sent this Saviour, Christ Jesus, into the world. But what about the world He came into? It lieth in sin in its totality. It lieth in wickedness. Jews and Gentiles alike, there is none righteous, no, not one. And we see that. The Lord Jesus Christ, no sooner begun His public ministry, He went to His own city, Nazareth, and simply for declaring truth. And what was He bringing before them? Their pride. Their sin, how they were no different to others, and how they actually, if they felt that they had any standing like mean Jews, and that was going to get them anywhere with God, the Lord Jesus Christ points out to a few Gentiles in Israel's history. There was lepers in Israel's history, in Israel, and yet God sent His prophet to a Gentile. That's what sent the Gentile to God's prophet. There was widows in Israel in the history of that nation. Poor in a time of drought and barrenness. And who was privileged and honoured of a messenger of God sent to them? A woman who was a Gentile and who was a widow. And for bringing that truth, bringing before Israel that your standing as a Jew is nothing. Here's your pride, I'm going to expose it to you just by looking at others. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ would look on another person, another nation, and see their need, and bring it before the people, and show how God had respect for their need, and had mercy upon that need. And to bring before Israel's mind that God was a God who had mercy on all peoples. That was enough to incur their wrath. This is the world the Lord Jesus Christ came into. He came to his own. And His own received Him not. And they took the Lord, and they took Him out of the synagogue, and they took Him to the brow of the hill which their city was built on, and they were going to throw Him down. The world that the Lord Jesus Christ came into, He came to His own, and they received Him not. That's how they received Him. And over and over and over again among His own people, there would be stones taken up to cast at Him, because of the truth that He spoke. There would be traps set for Him because He made the wicked leaders' wickedness to be obvious. He made it to be obvious to themselves. Men could deceive themselves. These men had no room for deceiving themselves by the time the Lord Jesus Christ had ended His sayings. They were convicted. And because they saw themselves so plainly, and because they knew everybody else saw them so plainly, in the light of the Lord's truth, they put snares for him and traps to try to entangle him in his words many, many times. And they failed to do so. Among the Gentiles, the Lord Jesus Christ, on one occasion, went across the sea, and there was a demoniac man, and the Lord Jesus Christ healed him. Dispossessed them of the spirits, the unclean spirits that dwelt there. And the people came and they saw that man sitting at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet, and the scripture says he was clothed and had been naked before, and his right mind had been mad before, desiring to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They came and they saw that man. So looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, they realized, this is the man that makes changes like this. They wanted no such changes. No such power of good over evil in their land, and they besought him to depart from him. That's the world that the Lord Jesus Christ came into. A world with opposition. A world that in its totality was under sin and transgression. A world that knew him not, was blind. Jews and Gentiles alike. You know, and the second psalm, it says this: why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers seek counsel together against the Lord, and against his anointed. That's the world the Lord Jesus Christ came into for us. A question. This one whose message, the message concerning him, he is worthy of all expectation. How does he find our hearts tonight? When the Lord Jesus Christ comes to us, how does he find our hearts? As the door shut. As the Lord Jesus Christ may be permitted to have a look in, but not come in. You'll come here and you'll hear the word preached. Maybe listening on the internet, you've heard the gospel many times. The word is preached. You have your heart revealed. You know how you are. But you can't come in. The yachts, quite the gathering people, depart from us because you fear him. Do you act like the Jews, proud that he would expose your sin? Are you offended that you're no number one in the Lord's eyes? Like those Jews who would throw him off the brow of the hill because he would declare that God also loved the Gentiles. I have mercy on Gentiles. Must be all about you. These are the principles that work in the heart of sinful man. This is the world the Lord Jesus Christ come to. How can I maybe suggest such things? Do you want to know why? Because when I come before God's word, God deals with my sin. I know what man's heart's like because I know what my heart's like. And I look in the scripture and I see God makes no mention of his words about it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I know what it's like to feel cut off if I'm no number one. I know what it's like to feel proud and to feel not too pleased about it. Is that not the case for us all? What do we do with that? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To save sinners from these sins. To deliver you from the things that keep you back from God. How are you delivered from that? Simply by accepting. Accepting Christ. Accepting God's message concerning him. This is the world he came to. Does he find you like he found that world? Why he came? God's purpose. Why the Lord Jesus Christ came? His final point. One was to die. Let's look over again in John's Gospel to Acts chapter 4. Our last point was the world he came to, and we thought about how he was rejected, how the thought to stone him, how they thought to throw him off the precipice of a hill, and murder and hate within their hearts. This is the world the Lord came to. This is the principles at work in all our hearts. That world he came to would take him to the cross. The world the Lord came to would take him to the cross. But look, why he came. Chapter 4 of Acts, beginning in verse 24. Now the apostles had healed a man that was impotent, and the people were flocking to hear the apostles, amazed at them. And the apostles were brought before the leaders, and the leaders threatened them not to teach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they gave him the glory for this man's healing, and declared that he was the Saviour who was raised from the dead, whom they had crucified. Yes, the word of the Lord came to, took the Lord to the cross. But why he came, that's marvellous. This is what makes this message worthy of all acceptation. The world he came to, who took the Lord to the cross, in God's infinite wisdom, and in God's immeasurable love, God had ordained to make all these things to bring about his own purpose. And look in verse 24 there, thinking about the cross, thinking about where the world had taken the Lord Jesus Christ to. And when they heard that, this is the threatenings by the rulers, the apostles had heard the threatenings of the rulers not to teach any more in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. One, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Isn't that amazing? The Lord Jesus Christ surrendered into the hands of his own people this world into which he came. The world we've been thinking about. A world that's heart is like our hearts, naturally, till God changes it, and unless God changes it. And surrender to God's will, going to the cross. The Jews and the Gentiles, Pontius Pilate, the work that Herod did, that wicked man, and the cries of the people, we have no king but Caesar. Away with him, crucify him. When there was a choice made, Barabbas or Christ Jesus, Barabbas was chosen. Who in a rebellious uprising had murdered. This is the world he came to. Why? For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Have you ever seen somebody's works, especially wrong works, backfire? Sure, we've all watched films, and the theme of the film is that the bad guy gets caught out in the end. Normally, they're caught out by their own deeds. All backfires. In the Bible, Haman, that wicked Haman in the book of Esther. I love reading that story. Every single thing he does, he's setting up his own ruin. When we come across someone who, that happens to, no by fluke. When we come across someone who, in their wisdom, is so perceptive. Who, and their judgments are so accurate. And their works, and in all that they do, their timing, their power, their ability, are so perfect. That they could bring us about by their own works. Bring us about by their own power. Bring this about so that the wicked's works undo themselves and destroy the wicked and accomplish the good. That there is amazing. Sometimes you come across individuals in this life, normal men, who do that in measure, who do that in an instance. But in that instance, it's not perfect. Though it's applauded and made to look perfect by the world, there's many books written about heroes, how that they did this, how that they did that. Men that are mystical figures, they don't know how true they are in history. But our Lord Jesus Christ, here is a man who is God incarnate, who from eternity saw everything that everyone would do, who with the Father planned the salvation of all his people, who saw everything the wicked would do. Peter here is quoting in Acts chapter 4, he's quoting the portion of the psalm we read earlier on, Psalm 2. God knew, and he wrote it down in his Bible, just exactly how they would treat the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, why did he come? To destroy such a people? To ruin sinners? No. To bring the works of sinners to nothing, to bring their works to ruin. Yet, God will judge, and it is his purpose to judge sinners who never repent. That's part of his purpose. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he returns again, will destroy in God's purposes all who reject him, all who count his precious work, his holy blood, as unclean and common, who don't see the worth of his gospel, the worth of the Lord, and who never accept. But God's purpose was that the Lord Jesus Christ would bring to pass what God had planned from eternity, to save. Now, we started out with the one who was sent. And when we got to Jesus, we realised that he was anointed for this purpose, to be God's salvation, to be the Saviour whom God sent. He came into the world, and the world, he came unto his own received him not. But you know, it's great that the word says also in the very next verse, but as many as received him, to them gave he power or authority, the right to become the sons or the children of God. It's God's will. This God who is so wise, he can bring everything to pass, and at the cross, what looks so weak and looks like so much a defeat, makes that the grounds of all victory. All the way through the scripture, we're looking forward to Christ's work on the cross. Paul in his epistle, this verse that we just read out, there's a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He's laying the foundation down. He's talking about Christ. This is the resurrected Christ he's talking about. The one who had died, who had been treated like that by the world he came into. This verse speaks to us today. Will you stop keeping Christ out? Will you cease from thinking about the message as something common, just because you've heard it so often? Think about its origin. Christ from heaven. God's anointed. Jesus, Jehovah the Saviour. Anointed to save. Worthy of all acceptation. All. Who are you? Who is anyone who rejects this Lord Jesus Christ? Scripture says, as he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Hath everlasting life. He that presently hath the Son. Presently hath everlasting life. But he that hath not, presently hath not the Son. Doesn't just say hath not, shall not. If you go on presently, that's the state you go around in, presently not having the Son. And if I ask you tomorrow and you're presently not having the Son, and next week you presently have not God's Son, if that's the way your life goes, look to the future. You shall not see life. You shall not see life. Hearers of this gospel, listen. Whatever is in your heart that makes you entertain any hope of glory, well, you have not the Son, rid it out. It is a lie. It is a lie of your own deceit. It's a lie sent into the world by Satan. Look to the cross of God, The cross of Jesus Christ, God's Son, He is not there dying for sinners because of any other way. He's there dying for sin because there is no other way. Worthy of all acceptation. Your acceptation. My acceptation. The acceptation of all. He came for this purpose, to save. To seek and to save. Dear soul, if you're out of Christ tonight, you're listening to this gospel. This is the good news. The one who came is divine. The one who came became a man. He knows all about us. He identifies with us. He came and He bore our sins. We were singing it on the last hymn. They are nailed to the cross. They are nailed to the cross. My sins are nailed to the cross. One day I'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. I'll be made like Him. Why? Not because I hope to accept Him one day. Because I have the Son now. Accept this gospel. It is worthy of all acceptation. He that hath a Son, hath life. And will never ever lose it. Never. God is faithful. This is a faithful saying. And worthy of all acceptation. That Christ, Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. Paul says, of whom I am chief. May God bless and grant you the grace, if you know in Christ, acknowledge the truth, accept Him. He is worthy. Close in prayer. Our loving God and Father, who has sent your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you, our Lord, for this great message. Lord, to sinners without hope. Lord Father, sinners, Father, with nothing but, if we had any idea about it, nothing but dread ahead of us. Father, thank you for sending your beloved Son. Lord, open hearts to receive Him, for He is indeed worthy of the acceptance of all. Grant repentance, Father. Grant faith. O Lord, where there's deceit in hearts, where there's shows put on in false professions, Father, let not the false professor open their mouth to deceive any more. Convict and bring fear, Lord. Bring, Father, holy fear. Bring repentance. Father, bring true faith and save, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.